This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good evening. You have joined Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. I'm Gemma and this is Kat.
Hi.
Good evening. Femme Fatale is just a discussion and dissection of the issues facing women in life, health, relationships and the arts. On tonight's show, we are talking about fairy tale princesses.
Something we've actually argued about together quite a lot,
actually. And we're going to be talking about the female role models of our youth. But first, we want to hear what you think. Who is your favourite fairy tale princess and why? Do you think these role models for young girls perpetuate stereotypes and unrealistic expectations of life in relationships?
Yes.
Are these fictional characters just anti-feminist propaganda in disguise?
Yes.
And further, are these heterosexual princesses playing a part in society's segregation and suppression of lesbian women? Something we're going to be talking about in a lot more depth.
So I already know what I think, but tell us what you think. We really want to hear from you. What's your idea of a happy ending? And I don't mean that in a sexual sense, but, you know, the happy endings that these fairy tale princesses have and the way that we were brought up to think about, you know, what we were supposed to want from our life. I guess Gem and I are interested in how that changes over the years, how it might be different from when you were a little girl or a little boy, as the case may be. And, you know, what constitutes a happy ending for you? During the show, you can text us at 0427-JOY-949. You can contact us via social media. Just go through the Joy website at joy.org.au. Click on Femme Fatale and it'll take you through. And also, if you have a smartphone, you can use the Joy app or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. That's FEMMEFATALE. And we will be back after this music. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. During the show, you can text us at 0427-JOY-949. We were just listening to It's Only the Beginning by Deborah Conway.
Which always makes me feel really positive. I didn't sound very positive when I said that, but it is true.
And Baby Can I Hold You by Tracy Chapman, who is a woman after my own heart. She's incredibly beautiful with the most amazing voice.
Mm-hmm. On tonight's show, we are talking about something that we argue about at home a lot. We're talking about fairy tale princesses. Doesn't sound like necessarily a topic that you would argue about, but I think Gemma and I have a pretty different stance on fairy tale princesses and what we think about them.
I don't think we do, Catherine Anne.
Well, we'll find out, I guess. And we're also talking about them in the context of being role models in our society and for youth.
And for young women in society. Catherine Anne is one of the biggest princesses I know constantly. Her, if anyone knows her, her tagline is, I'm a princess. So don't let her fool you with her, I'm so tough and fairy tale princesses suck, okay? What I'm going to do is run you through, for those of you who don't know fairy tale princesses or haven't been exposed to them, you must have been living under a rock. I'm going to go through some of the most famous fairy tale princesses and the years that they were released, because the years that they were released and the context in which they were released have a bit of a standing on what kind of women they were.
By release, do you mean as in you're talking about fairy tale princesses in films, yeah?
Yes, fairy tale princesses in films. When we were first, kind of, they flooded the market in popular culture. So in 1937, we had Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. 1950 was Cinderella. 1959, Aurora from Sleeping Beauty. 1989 was Ariel. However you'd like to say it.
Ariel, that's whatever
also,
her name is.
That's also been in great debate. Belle from Beauty and the Beast in 1991. Jasmine from Aladdin in 1992. Pocahontas in 1995. Mulan in 1998. Tiana in 2009. And Rapunzel in 2010. Now, this brings me to the latest film princess, fairy tale princess release, who is Merida from Brave. Which we're going to talk about in a little bit more detail a bit later on. But first, Catherine Ann, do you have a favourite fairy tale princess?
I actually don't. I never really liked any of the princesses in any of those films, though I haven't seen Brave, and I believe it's a Pixar film, and I usually like Pixar films.
Yes.
Even though they also usually make me cry. So, no, I don't. I always kind of watch the screen wondering why they were all so helpless.
And stupid and damsel-y.
Yeah.
So why don't you like them? Because that does not explain to me, even remotely, why you have a princess complex.
I do not have. She actually said that with a straight face. I do not have a princess complex. But we are specifically talking about fairy tale princesses, and I guess as they have been portrayed in films. So
yes,
they're not always as pathetic and helpless as I believe they are in some of those films. And I, you know, I'm human. I like their dresses and stuff. But
fashion.
And they looked really pretty, and they sang songs. And
And you like girls, so.
I like girls and pretty things, what can I say? So in that sense, I guess I found them quite appealing. But in the context of them being role models, no.
No, I never
found them very inspiring as people.
But you are drawn to princesses as a concept, as, you know, why? If you didn't like any of them and you all thought they were a bit pathetic, why the attraction other than the pretty dresses?
Well, the pretty dresses is a really big thing. But I guess I like... I find it attractive in an ironic sense.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Like, So the playing of helpless and stupid when one actually isn't.
So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I find that amusing.
Okay.
But actual helplessness and expecting some man to come along and fix your life for you, or the fact that his sheer existence will fix your life for you, no, I don't find that attractive or appealing.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Look, I'm a huge fan of princesses, and I have to say that a lot of the literature, the original fairy tales or stories, some of them from Grimm Brothers and from other places that these films were based on, were a lot more gritty and had a lot more depth to the character and the storyline.
And a lot more really awful things happened to them.
That's true.
Yeah.
More gritty. So when they kind of flooded the film market, they were kind of superficially flossed over in a beautiful way, which kind of made the girls as role models look a little bit dumb and useless.
Mm.
My favourite, I mean, we all love Cinderella, who doesn't? Belle from Beauty and the Beast is my favourite. She was a bookworm. She was a total nerd. She was cute, smart and hot, and she didn't like chauvinistic, arrogant men. Actually, she was a bit of a hermit. I guess I related to her in that way, in that she kind of tucked herself away.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
She didn't take part in general society. She was a bit of a rebel. Everyone thought she was a bit strange. I was a bit of a strange child, so I can definitely relate to her on that level.
Not to mention adult.
And you know, generally the biggest, loudest personality in the room, which is usually a man, is she shunned away from, didn't want to have anything to do with it and didn't want to meet expectations in that department. So I guess she was my favourite until I saw Brave and I was converted to a new princess. She, Merida in Brave is this flaming redhead. She's Scottish with this thick accent with red curly hair to her waist, which I have to say, even for a small princess, is pretty amazing. Hair was beautiful and the animation was fantastic. But she actually fought for her own rights in terms of she was betrothed to one of the other lords in the land, to one of their sons, and they were all to compete. The sons were to compete for her hand in marriage, and she put her hand up to her family and said, I want to compete for my own hand in marriage. I want to compete for my right to choose, which I think in a 2012...
And I haven't seen the film, so was she choosing whom she wanted to marry or choosing whether or not she wanted to get married?
Choosing not to get married, which I think was amazing. And it was a bit of a subversion on the entire princess fairy tale thing. Her fight and her struggle in that film was not to be reunited with her prince or, you know, defeat evil. It was a journey of self-discovery and a relationship development with herself and with her mother. So I think maybe, and that's 2012. So, you know, the last one before that was 2010. It was Rapunzel.
Which I didn't see that either.
It was a pretty cool film, but Merida kind of takes the cake with, you know, changing the way women are represented to children in film and fairy tales. So I think, you know, you should probably check that out. And if anyone's seen it, please text in and let us know what you thought of it.
When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the more serious issues to do with fairy tale princesses, and especially in the context of them being female role models. We're going to be talking about stereotypes, whether or not they give us unrealistic expectations of what our lives should be like, of what our relationships will be like, about the things that we can even hope for in our future, and a whole lot of other stuff. So stay tuned. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. During the show, you can text us at 0427 Joy 949. You can connect with us via social media. Just click on the Femme Fatale link on the Joy website. You can download one of those funky smartphone apps for all you technologically advanced aliens out there. Or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. Tonight we just listened to Scar Tissue by Red Hot Chili Peppers, an awesome, very sexy song, and Thorn in My Side by Eurythmics, which Kat was doing a very lovely dance to.
It was very good, and I'm very sure that our listeners are sad that they can't see my excellent dancing skills during the song breaks. Moving right along. We've come to the serious part of tonight's show. We're talking about fairy tale princesses and whether or not we think that they are adequate role models for young women, whether or not they perpetuate stereotypes or unrealistic expectations of life in general and relationships. Do we think that these fictional characters are just anti-feminist propaganda in disguise, in pretty dresses? And furthermore, are these heterosexual princesses playing a part in society's segregation and suppression of lesbian women?
I can't wait to get to that last one.
Yeah, me neither. But there's so much to say first. So we were talking at the beginning of the show about, you know, favourite fairy tale princesses. And we were talking mainly in the context of the films that have come out over the years. And I was saying that I didn't have one because every time I was watching those films as a child, I was just blown away by why they were so helpless. I found it really, really frustrating. I kind of wanted to help them to do something useful for themselves instead of waiting around to be rescued or for the evil person to just, you know, suddenly stop doing evil to them so that their lives could be rosy, by which that meant get married and live happily ever after. So I found that really, really frustrating, you know, that Sleeping Beauty would still be asleep if a prince hadn't come along to rescue her. And she, you know, Rapunzel would still be in the tower and all those
Snow
kinds
White
of
would
things.
Still be in a coma and a glass coffin.
Yeah, absolutely. They were just pretty useless. Now, I understand that, and I remember really clearly, you know, the pleasure and the imagination and the whole kind of world that's built up when, you know, watching these films and reading the stories. And, you know, I guess they are supposed to be inspirational and they can't help but be role models. But do we really want to teach young girls that women are weak and vulnerable and that they actually only succeed when a man gets involved? And I mean, it's not like we just see this in fairy tales. Like if you think about certain contemporary films, take, for example, the Twilight sagas, Bella's pretty useless.
I can't even talk about that because I'll get so angry.
Yeah, well, look, she's, again, useless, helpless, and the big, strong, amazing, super-powered men that she has to keep calling on in order to fix her life, indeed jump in and fix her life. And then, of course, I'm guessing, I haven't actually seen it, the second one, but I'm guessing that she marries
him. It's not even about the films. In the books, it describes her as a clumsy, kind of useless, kind of awkward girl. And suddenly when she's dating him, she doesn't feel as clumsy or useless. Or it actually says that in the book. It's pretty hilarious that she feels, you know, more in control of herself and empowered, and because she has the love of a strong supernatural human. But that's off topic.
Look, I mean, as much as I want to complain about them, realistically, I mean, is allowing, you know, young girls to revel in this princess fad setting them up for a lifetime of relying on other people to solve their problems? Probably not. Probably they will, you know, take it with a grain of salt and realise that that is not the only way that you get what you want in life, and that these are not the only things that you should want in life. However, I do think that, you know, there's a certain responsibility to point that out to kids as well. I feel like if we're going to have fairy tale princesses, they should probably be a bit more kick-ass than the ones that we've seen so far.
Well, that's in debate as well. I just want to add there, look, I think it's really important that fairy tale princesses are a part of people's lives. But, you know, I think that there's this kind of key issue with, you know, how much exposure do we give them, how much do we let them revel in it. Now, a lot of the contemporary fairy tales that are coming out feature a lot stronger, independent, kind of feisty women. But the traditional, you know, the films and the fairy tales are still out there being viewed. And I think although it's a bit of fluff and it's a bit of fun, and as adults we can see a perspective on that, as a child, and if you go through and have a look at some of the key, you know, cognitive development cycles that happen in educational psychology with children, some of these, you know, exposure times 2, 3, 4, and 5 years old are key points in a child's brain where they're cognitively developing and creating associations about gender, about sex, about female versus male roles, and what that means. And that's when we start actually having the ability to imagine, to fantasize, and to think into the future, to make plans or draw pretty pictures in our mind about telling stories or having dreams. You know, the first kind of time you say, I want to be a fireman or I want to be a, happens at about 3 or 4 years old. And that's when these kids are being exposed to. So they're starting to make plans for themselves. They're starting to see themselves past a date of each day. They're starting to see themselves in the future and the concept of growing up. And they're actually creating an image in their brains about the future. And we're exposing these, well, all young girls to this fairy tale princess complex. Now, my issue with it is more along the lines of the kind of the happy ending and how, you know, each of these princesses is not only aligned with a strong dominant male, but that they are getting married and they are, you know, succumbing to their family kind of pressures and responsibilities. Now, you know, there's a lot of people out there living alternative lifestyles where a man isn't the happy ending, a woman is, or not even a woman, maybe I don't want to get married. Actually, if it is a woman, I can't get married. You know, these are big issues that you start to kind of delve into in adolescence. But as a kid, if you've got this weight of this expectation within yourself that I need to marry a man and to get my happy ending and marriage is what I'm aiming for, and then realize that, oh, actually, I want another princess.
Yeah. But also, I mean, at no point in any of these stories are these princesses building any kind of skill set. It's all about what they look like and whether or not they can sing, you know, pretty songs. Or even if you look at Ariel, who did have an amazing voice, which she traded off so that she could go and hang out with this guy that she'd caught a glimpse of so that she could perhaps marry him. I mean, she was pretty much told that her voice wasn't as important as the way that she looked. So, I mean, it's all about being young, being beautiful. It doesn't give you a lot to aim for.
As these movies moved out of the 50s, no fairy tales in film were released during the 60s. There was a big gap between 1959 and 1989. But the later fairy tale stories that came out in film were all set in different cultures for the first time. And one of the ones I, you know, specifically kind of want to talk about is Pocahontas, who the whole story is a kind of dramatic, you know, reenactment in cartoon of colonization and how we, you know, infiltrated.
I look forward to Sandy hearing what you've got to say about that. We're also, after the break, we'll touch a little bit on some of the things that our listeners have written in because they're pretty interesting. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. During the show, you can text us at 0427JOY949. Connect with us on social media. Just go to the Femme Fatale link on the Joy website and you will find the link. You can download our smartphone Joy app or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. Now, we were just listening to Tidies High by Blondie and Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison. So
much to cover in so little time.
Oh, we are running out of time. It's sad. Yeah. I could talk about this for hours.
Who
and
knew
hours.
That you could talk about princesses for so long?
And we've had so much feedback. Everyone wants to talk about it.
So let's touch on the feedback before we run out of time.
Absolutely. A big point of contention that has come up has been about the newest release of Snow White, Mirror Mirror, which features Snow White to be this kick-ass battle, you know, kind of driven princess who takes back her kingdom from the evil step queen by force, basically, and she kicks butt, really. Kat had an adverse reaction to this, even though she said she doesn't really like fairy tale princesses because they're all like damsel-y and they're useless and hopeless. She saw Mirror Mirror and went, why is she wearing pants? Where's the pretty dress? So I judge you for that, by the way.
I just believe that women wearing dresses can do just as much as women wearing pants.
Well, I like that. I definitely like that. That kind of ties in with what another listener, Loz, has said about Braves Merida. She says that Merida succeeds in being manly and that she's only stronger because she's portrayed as more masculine, and that to redeem herself, she had to revert back to her feminine qualities of love and forgiveness. She says this film tries hard but falls to the same old, deep gender stereotypes.
Interesting.
What do you think?
Well, I haven't seen it, so...
Oh, you haven't seen it.
Yeah. You keep telling me it's good, so perhaps I will.
I tend to agree with you, Loz, except I think that it's the closest we've come to even being remotely, close to better. So I'm not going to diss it too much because I think it's the closest thing we've got to a step in the right direction. And different from Mirror Mirror, which I think... And we've talked about this film before on the show, and I agree with you completely, Loz. In order to make our female role models in these films more strong and independent, we've made them just violent and masculine rather than showing that femininity and just being a girl is enough to be strong.
Thank you. That is my problem with her. With them suddenly putting her in a pair of pants, teaching her to fight, may I mention, within the course of one day. And then expecting us to think that, you know, she's been rescued from her helplessness, when really I don't understand why we don't seem to be able as a society to conceive of femininity as having any kind of power either. Like, why for someone to be, you know, feminine has to mean that they're helpless and, you know, pathetic and weak. Why in order to be redeemed from that, they have to take on masculine qualities.
Definitely.
I find that really frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating. And thanks for talking about that. Carol has said that she is a single lesbian mum. The girls, her daughters, still watch fairy tale princesses. But she also has given them a copy of Roald Dahl's Revolting Rhymes to balance the princess tales. So Carol's stance is, thanks for writing in, Carol, is all about balance. So balancing out, making sure that Disney princesses is not all they're exposed to, and that they're exposed to, I assume, equal gender role models so that they can align themselves with whichever they, you know, want to, and they don't feel forced into one specific type of role model or gender construct or feminine versus masculine. It's about balance. You're absolutely right. And
that's really a really good point. And you were mentioning before, Jem, that the idea of the happy ending and what we kind of dreamed about as children. Do you feel like yours has changed? Like, did you watch those movies and read the stories and want to grow up and have a fairy tale wedding and marry a prince? Or, like, what was
going on for you? Well, look, like, to be really honest, I was obsessed with fairy tale princesses. I did. I grew up design. Like, I had books full of wedding dresses I had drawn, and that's what I thought I was supposed to do. And it didn't click with me that I was getting around in skate pants and skate shoes and hoodies with no makeup and, you know, flat hair stuck to my face. It didn't make sense to me. I missed something. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do. And I dreamed about this big wedding, and I thought that the point of life was to find my Prince Charming. But it took me until, embarrassingly, much later in my adolescence, to realize that probably I wanted to find a princess. And I wanted to choose whether I could be a princess or the prince. Like, sometimes I want to wear the pants and sometimes I want to wear the dress. I want the right to choose, and that's my stance on it. But it took me a long time to come to terms with and accept that I didn't have to have the fairy tale ending that I'd grown up idolizing.
Yep.
Even though I loved watching it, I had a right to choose, and I think that's what we need to teach our children at the same time as exposing them to these beautiful fluffy stories with these beautiful dresses. It could be a prince, it could be a princess. I don't know what my happy ending's going to be. But the other thing is the construct of marriage, and I have to comment that maybe I don't want to get married, and maybe, you know, I'm as much fighting for gay rights and gay marriage as anyone else, but it's still a choice, and maybe I don't even want to go down that traditional path. There is a lot of different lifestyles out there available to everyone.
So. Yeah.
I acknowledge my right to choose, but it took a long time to come to terms with that.
I think it's worth noting that these films came out, and obviously the stories are way older, but we're talking about an era that it's not like now. We do have different gender roles and different expectations. Then when did you say it's one of the earliest?
I'm
Disney
just looking at it. The first
out?
2, 3, 4, 5 Disney princesses were wealthy Western Anglo-Saxon females. The first was in 1937, and they didn't even delve into a different culture until 1992 with Jasmine and Aladdin.
Yeah, see, I think it's time that we really did get some, or do get some new female role models that are more akin to what's actually going on in society now.
Yeah, I think the strongest point to note here and winding up at the end of the show is that there are some stronger feminine characters coming through. Definitely they're out there, but are they more violent, and is that why they're stronger? Are they just portrayed as having more masculine qualities? The other point I want to say is that at no point is there ever princess and princess. Where is the lesbian representation of this is an option, you
there
have a
isn't,
choice?
There isn't.
And there
one.
Isn't. And look, that's the hope. One day, maybe in the future, that we won't discriminate against sexuality and gender choices, even when it comes to children's films and education. But that's a very contentious point. So, yeah. Have you anything else to add, Kat? We could literally
talk about this all
hours.
Night, but we're actually out of time.
I know, it's very sad.
What are we talking about next week?
Next week we are doing another contentious topic, even though I didn't think fairy tale princesses were going to be, but apparently they are. We're going to do a show on the female orgasm. Not only that, we're going to be talking about fake orgasms and what that is like and how that contributes to our life in any way, if it does. But coming up next, we have got Spirit Lounge with Birdie, Joy and Andrew. So good night, everyone, and thanks for joining us.
I have to say that all this talking about princesses has makes me feel like I should say something about my favourite princess. So I'm going to dedicate this last song to May. But first we've got some traffic. Gemma's trying not to throw up over there. We'll be taking you out with You Two, All I Want Is You.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.